and WBAI.org on the web. The previous program was The Gary Noel Show, heard Monday through Friday at noon. It is now 1 p.m. Stay tuned for The Positive Mind coming up.
Hey, everybody. Kev O'Donoghue, Ben Starr, and Julian Joiello in the studio. Back with you with The Positive Mind. Say hi, Ben.
Hey, guys. Good to be back.
Feels like New Year's, but back with you with The Positive Mind, bringing you some ideas, concepts, and guests. Try and help you lead a more positively minded life. And did you do it? Did you get out there over the weekend and do what we recommended last week? We recommended, you know the word, play. Did you get out there last week? We found out work, love, play, and learn are essential for grown-ups, essential for us big people, and essential that we have them in balance. And I think we should rename Labor Day to Play Day, because Americans are lacking in play.
Well, you said something important, Kevin, and you said that you feel like it's the new year.
Yes.
I was hoping to hear you expand on that. What do you mean by that?
You know, I could ask this question also. Do you feel it? Do you feel the change? Can you see the change in the sky and the light, the way the light hits the street now? It's September, and I always feel like September really is like a new start. There's such a dramatic difference between this week and last week.
Absolutely.
Right? That it almost feels like this is a new year. So I always, you know, start my new year in September, right after Labor Day, because I really feel like I need a new attitude. I need a new approach. I'm ready to do things new and differently. And in the cold month of January, I'm not so much there to do that. So to me, it feels like Happy New Year. Happy New Year, everybody out there. I hope you got out there to play over the weekend. We're going to continue to encourage you to play, and we did appreciate your feedback at positivemind.wbai.org, where we heard from you all how important it is that we get out there.
Positivemind@wbai.org, yes.
I think it's a great point, Kevin. It is, in a lot of ways, the beginning of a new year. The school year is back in session, right? Labor Day marking the end of the traditional summer season. Yeah. And even religiously, I mean, Jews, Muslims are celebrating a religious new year this month.
That's right.
And there is a bit of a reset. It's almost like things are going back to the rigors of routine and everyday schedules and work and school for many people out there.
Yeah.
And it's an important topic, I think, for a lot of people who are feeling that acutely today, the first day back, the first day of sort of back to reality.
Yeah, and are you going to go back into this new reality, back to the reality, working as hard as you have in the past? We hope not. We hope you can get a whole new attitude towards the work that you do, that you can incorporate some play and some positive ideas, some positive attitude to get you through your workday. We did look over the weekend how hard Americans are working in general. We all know that Americans, you know, have been, you know, the major producing country in the world for at least the second half of the 20th century and now going into this century. And how do we do that? How do we produce so much? Well, the answer is because people work hard here. Americans are known to be like the hardest working people in the world. Can you guys give me some ideas?
Yeah, and you know, I think that a lot of that stems from partly at least just the idea that when you come here to America, you can work hard and turn that hard work into something more, you know, and I think that's the hope here. That's the hope in America. And then whenever you speak to anybody who's come here from any other country, they go, you know, I came here because I know that I can do my own thing. I can work on perhaps my own hours even and turn that into a new life. You know, I can work hard and turn that into something better.
I love it. I think that we should send it out now. We're going to ask callers, from immigrants. If you're from an immigrant family, your parents or you yourself are an immigrant and have come here and found work here, and you see a difference between how you work here in the States versus where you came from, we want you to give us a call when we take calls, because I do think it's still true that people come to America still believing that they can reach for the stars.
And I think that's true in a lot of ways. And it's interesting when you compare it to other work ethics in the world. I mean, a lot of when you think about work ethic, the first country that comes to mind other than America is Japan. There's an insane work ethic when you go there. You see people passed out on the trains because they've been working all day and they literally just haven't had sleep. And we see that here too. But actually through my research, I was able to find that in Japan, there is actually death from too much work. And there's actually, it's so common that there is an overworking death that there is a word for it, and it's called karoshi.
Karoshi.
And karoshi is the word for dying from being overworked. Just physically, some people in Japan will be working overtime 80 hours a week, and they'll, for months or years on end, and physically just collapse at work and die.
It's amazing that it's such a prevalent and common event that they've actually, you know, the culture has coined a term for dropping dead from work.
Yeah, we don't make
up words.
In
America, we call it a heart attack.
right.
And, you know, we haven't quite diagnosed that as a specific word. But, I mean, this kind of work ethic, it's here, too. And in Europe, I think it tends to be difficult to find people that are working day in, day out. I think it's a little bit more of a lax experience. For example, I think Ben was talking about Spain earlier.
Right, yeah. So Spain, as many of us know, they have a siesta in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
Where things just kind of go into a slumber.
Right.
Right? There's a mini hibernation that happens daily in the middle of the day.
It's the weirdest thing in the world. I've been there.
From our perspective, it's almost unthinkable, right?
Right.
I mean, we couldn't conceive of that.
No.
But over there, they work later into the day, mm-hmm. and life happens later into the day. People are eating dinner later on.
Yeah, you know, and sometimes in workplaces in America, or even in specifically New York City, and a lot of times, your boss will say, hey, you know, I know it's your lunch break, but can you take it with me? And can we keep working through this? And can you just go grab something? We'll order something. We'll have in the conference room and go over notes.
Right.
And you're like, yeah, sure. I mean, that's sort of accepted in a lot of ways.
Sure.
And we have here a lack of paid leave is a really difficult one to get.
Sure.
In America,
sure.
It's like we have one of the lowest amounts of paid leave and sick leave, maternity leave of any country in the world.
There's no mandated parental leave.
Exactly.
And we have no laws that set a maximum length to the work week, as over 100 other countries do. So
except for children. Right.
Right. So imbued in our culture is the importance of working hard and continuing to work hard and not take a break and not slack off. It's about constantly moving forward, constantly working hard so that you can reach that dream and you can get to that place.
Yeah,
you know?
And I just wonder if there's more of a disparity nowadays between the actual dream and the reality. You know, I do think people still come here with the hope and belief that they can make it. But are they working harder than they did a generation ago?
Mm-hmm.
Like immigrants, are you working harder than you know, immigrants that you knew of 20, 30 years from now who came to America? It'd be, you know, an interesting study. There's so much stuff we could unearth here on work and how important work is and the shape that work takes in America. Because we don't have unions like we used to, and we don't have an economic structure like Japan or Spain. I mean, in Spain, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's like Manhattan in late August. It's totally bizarre. It's totally quiet.
Yeah.
I've been there. You know, you just walk.
Same thing with France, too.
France
is like, I mean, they're fighting for even more lunchtime breaks and morning breaks. So they have 3 breaks a day. And
right.
It's like
their work week in France is capped at 35 hours. And we did some research. We found that here in the United States, over 85% of men and over 66% of women work more than 40 hours a week.
Right.
Yeah. 40 hours a week, you know, the typical 9 to 5, 8 hours a day times 5 days a week, that is mm-hmm. much less than people are realistically working.
And the system is sort of, you know, it expects that of us. You know, for example, at NYU, I mean, I know plenty of my colleagues were working for free for years as interns. And that's sort of like a phenomenon here.
Mm.
But it's sort of accepted because here in America, everybody sort of knows that you have to put in the work to get to that place that you want to get to.
Mm. And Kevin, as you mentioned, we're really looking forward to hearing from callers a little bit later on in the show. We're going to be hoping to hear from callers with an international perspective,
yes,
a cross-cultural perspective on work ethics. So if you came here from another culture or you're part of a family that did, we'd love to hear your take on how on the differences there. We did some research. We found, according to the International Labor Organization, that United States workers are working 137 hours more yearly than Japanese workers,
right?
Which Julian was just telling us
are literally dying,
are literally dropping
of being overworked. Yes,
and that's 3 weeks.
Not only that, that's Americans work 260 hours more per year than British workers, and nearly 500 hours per year more than workers in France.
Right,
500.
So, and you would compare our cultures. I mean, as first world countries, as you know,
yes,
high up there, military wise, consumer wise, capita, money wise,
GDP,
wise,
right.
These are countries that we compare ourselves to,
yes,
and consider ourselves. They're amongst the top with us. Mm-hmm. You know, France, Germany, Japan, Spain. Yeah. You know, these are the EU in general. I mean,
right,
we find them the most similar. The only kind of other countries that we end up seeing having different kind of work hours that are perhaps more tend to be not up there, and it can be maybe in third world countries
yeah,
in Mexico there's sort of a phenomenon of like a very high work week, but it's a different kind of world there.
Mm.
And I think we have a different system in place, but it's very interesting comparing to other
and
countries like ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, we consider ourselves similar in a lot of philosophies, in work philosophy, to the EU. But in fact, it's very, very different. It's a very different world. And America is the one. And we're doing this. We're working 137 hours more yearly than the Japanese.
And the Japanese are dying from work, overwork.
Right, right.
You know?
So again, yeah, we'd love to hear your input out there. If you're from another culture, if you came here from another culture, or a part of a family that came here from another culture, the difference in work ethic, what work means to you.
Right.
Here in our first show after Labor Day, it's 2017 and things are heating up. We're getting into the thick of really the rigorous schedule, back to school, back to work. Our number is
212.
It's 212-757-5555. That's 212.
Ben was about to give you his personal number. No.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
You can give us a call there.
He's always working.
212-757-5555. We'd love to hear from our listeners who come from perhaps immigrant families or are an immigrant themselves and find an interesting experience, work ethic,
you know,
comparing.
So give us a call. You know what I was thinking? Immigrants have the satisfaction of family life that most Americans who are independent contractors and workers don't really have. I mean, we hear about the fragmentation of the American family, but immigrants who come to this country, they bond together.
Right. Well, there's an imperative to stick together.
Right. Yes. And they find communities, neighborhoods to work in. And so there's a bonding that the overwork maybe isn't as, troubling or psychologically taxing as it is for, you know, the average middle employee at a company here in America. So here are some of the things that happen when you overwork. You have fatigue, chronic fatigue. You have memory loss. You have irritability and anger.
Right.
You have headaches. Your joints can hurt. And, of course, you have trouble sleeping. So these are just some of the things about being overworked that Americans have to deal with.
Right. And sometimes there's even for Americans who are feeling that cultural pressure to continue working hard when they can't find a job, and it can be very difficult to find a job. They want to work, and you have that ethic, and you have that preparedness to go for that, but you can't even find that job that will give you that kind of work. And so we end up filling that time with freelance work or part-time work,
mm-hmm,
or work from home, which is a much more feasible thing these days.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we constantly are hearing about the so-called gig economy, where people mm-hmm are making a piecemeal living out of sort of having multiple smaller income streams, you know, collectors of part-time jobs.
Right.
Right.
Right. And so we reward initiative here in this country, mm, right? We reward people who do a cleaning service, who take it on their own and say, hey, I'm going to turn this, you know, unemployment into something, into some kind of business.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, they become like a person who does laundry for people in their building.
Let's take a quick call, Kevin.
We have
Rodrigo on the line from Brazil. Rodrigo, what part of Brazil are you from?
I'm from Minas Gerais. Okay, it's like 4 hours from Sao Paulo.
Right, yeah, I am familiar with the area.
And oh, you know there? Good.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about your perspective on work and work ethic. And if you could, turn your radio off for us, please.
Yeah, that did already. So.
There you go.
Thank you.
Okay. Yes, I came to America when I was 20 years old. I'm 38 now. So I've been living here for almost 20 years already.
Okay.
And there's one major difference between America and Brazil. I think the major difference is the labor laws itself. Since all the major, all the labor laws in America are controlled by corporations itself, you know.
Yeah.
In Brazil, we have a very strong union. So it's very hard for the politician not to follow what the people want, because if they don't follow what the people want, they get out of the job. So they don't want to lose such a good job as a senator or as a or as a representative.
Yeah, we've done that with child labor laws, but you're right. We haven't done it with adult labor laws. Again, your radio's chiming in. So can you turn down that radio?
It's off already.
Oh.
No, I guess we're hearing feedback from the phone or something. But okay.
Probably it's me.
So what are you doing for work here in the States?
I work in construction here.
Are you overworked?
Sometimes I have to, because the bill keeps going up and up, and then we just have to catch them.
Right.
And like I was saying, let's say in Brazil, when you work for a corporation, when you work for somebody else, even you, let's say you're building a house, and I go to work for you, and if I work more than 3 months for you, you are supposed to give me, if you fire me after 3 months, if you don't give me the days of vacation that I have amounted for this 3 months, you have to pay me cash for that thing.
Wow.
So, you know, there's a lot of laws. Like, we can talk about like 10, 15 laws, like when the women get pregnant, they have to get 100% of their money, even if they're pregnant. They cannot get fired. There's a lot of laws there.
Here, maternity leave is company by company. It's not mandated. So if you're fortunate to work for a company, then you get it, but it's not something that's guaranteed.
Yeah, that's a lot of federal laws there that say, hey, you know what, you work 4 hours a day, and go take a vacation to your wife and your kids, and then you come back, your job's going to be here.
Right.
So the laws are there, so you can take a vacation night and go to somewhere else and enjoy time. Now, here in America, because they don't have such a federal law, the guy say, you know what, why am I going to take vacation? Because somebody else can come here,
yes,
and then next week I'm out of the job.
And it's a big stress, and one of the major stressors for workers here in the States is the worry that they're not going to have a job next week, that they'll be downsized or... Rodrigo, we have another call, but appreciate you calling us, giving us that perspective on Brazil.
Thank you so much. Yeah, and in that same vein, I mean, every country included, in what we've been talking about, except Canada and Japan, workers get at least 20 paid vacation days, and in France and Finland, they get 30, an entire month per year.
Wow.
So a really, really large discrepancy happening here, because we have.
I think Rodrigo is our first Brazilian caller. At least in a very long time.
Mm. Well, thank you, Rodrigo. Yeah. That's awesome.
And you know what?
Awesome.
Except when they were in the World Cup.
That's right. If anyone hasn't experienced this, next time the Brazil national soccer team plays a game, go up to Astoria and just see the atmosphere. It's tremendous.
Really?
There's a very strong Brazilian community over there.
Yeah.
And it's really something else. 212-757-5555 is the number to call. We're hoping to hear from more people who came here from abroad, immigrants, people who came from different cultures, want to discuss the difference in the work ethic and cultural differences and how you approached work back home.
How about cab drivers?
Yeah, well, we've certainly gotten phone calls from cab drivers. We've had cab drivers on the show.
You know, the interesting benefit here in America, I mean, yes, there's a lot of there's a lack of federal regulation when it comes to vacation days and mandated leave and all this kind of stuff.
Maternity leave.
Yeah. But what ends up happening too is I wonder how people are feeling in the freedom that they have to essentially work as much as they want potentially. I mean, if you want to work a 60, 70-hour week, you can. I mean, nobody's stopping you.
Sure.
Rarely, you know.
Yeah.
And I think part of that, Julian, is also that Americans tend to be more entrepreneurial by nature.
Right.
It's a big part of our culture.
Yeah,
the idea of setting out on your own, going into business for yourself. It's been such a part of the American ethos for so long, for generations, that You know, it's just something that, that people gravitate towards.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think there's a there's a part of American culture. And those who come to America and join our culture tend to have that tendency, too. I mean, I think that the French people who are kind of upset with the French culture of sort of hanging around during lunch and breakfast and dinner at work come here and they say, you know what, I'm not going to get taxed 75%. I'm going to work really hard.
Right.
And I'm going to be able to turn that into success for myself and not be sort of hindered by that requirement to, take these weeks off and join everybody else in hanging out.
If you're just joining us, you're tuned into The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM WBAI. I'm Ben Starr here with Kevin O'Donohue, Julian Gioiello. Today we're talking about work in the first day after Labor Day as people sort of go back to work and go back to school, fall back into the rhythm and the rigors of real life. You know, summer's over, so here we go, and it's sort of a big reset that we're all experiencing, and it does start today. And you can feel it, Kevin. You feel it out in the streets of the city.
You really do. You really do.
It has begun.
It has begun. And actually the traffic still wasn't so bad today. It was worse than it was last week, but it wasn't still so bad. So people are transitioning into it slowly. But I do think everybody feels that there's a change out there. You know, one thing about American and the entrepreneurial spirit, you know, is that it's not difficult to open a company in this country.
No.
You know, I think that, you know, a lot of immigrants come to the country and they're amazed at how easy it is that I can start up my own company. Me and my brother or my family together can open this company legally. That there are not so many shackles.
And they can legally take a chance and just, and there are laws in place to help you do that.
Yes.
To help small businesses flourish, which is really,
yeah.
I think, one of the biggest benefits and why a lot of people do come here and say, hey, I have this freedom here.
I own my
here.
Own business.
Right. I mean, that's really exciting.
Even though, sometimes you find your local cab driver was a doctor in his own country.
Right. Right.
You know, so they say, oh, I'm working 8 hours a week, but I prefer it much more than I was when I was a doctor. And,
I know,
Or a professor, a math professor.
It's very interesting experience to be in an Uber or a Lyft or a cab and speak to someone from Haiti or something like that, and they come here and they say, I love America because I work for myself here. And it's like, I'm driving this car, but I am in love with this because I can go home whenever I want and I can do whatever I want.
We have a caller.
Yeah, let's hear from Nancy. Hi, Nancy. Thanks for calling
in. Hi. I think a lot of this so-called work ethic is a bunch of you-know-what, and I'll tell you why.
Sure.
More American workers and even small entrepreneurs have heart attacks.
Yes.
From working hard. And they have no life, and they have no family life, and they have no opportunity to have a cultural life.
Mm.
And Italy was cited as one of the countries where they have, when people do have heart attacks, improve because they have that so-called break. But that so-called break is disappearing because industrialization and exploitation is all over the world. So I think we have to really be careful about making these generalizations.
I agree with you. I understand what you're saying. How's your work life been?
I retired, and I worked at the university as an adjunct for many years, and it improved tremendously when we had established a union. We had benefits and our salaries. At one point, salaries were different in every department, in every school, and they became more similar. And so that improved immediately. Not that all unions are great, but that there's no question that unions are it's better to be in a union than not be in a union.
So I like what you're saying about ethic, because we might put a positive spin. We're still doing that in this country, about positive spin about everything that we're doing. But I think you had an interesting idea that maybe the language you're using is really not that useful.
No, it's not.
But do you feel, Americans are, in general, are overworked?
Overexploited in every way.
Absolutely.
And nowadays, well, even in the past, people worked like dogs. But it wasn't until the 30s where the unions the unions developed and made life doable for people.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until the wars where people needed, they needed people to work, and that improved lifestyles and so on.
Right.
What about the Chinese who came here early on in the 20s and And if they went back, they would never be able to come back again and left their wives for so, like, for 20 years.
Right.
They had their families.
People are
broken.
Still doing that. They're still doing it. Yeah.
Italians came here and they worked so hard here. At least they had work. But the work was so rough that they had to, they fell asleep in their clothes.
Yeah, of course. It always does seem to be the new immigrants, the newest arrivals who are doing the hardest work. And Nancy, thank you so much for the call. But it's true. She makes an excellent point that it is generally does tend to be the newer immigrants who are working the hardest jobs.
Yeah, sleeping in their clothes.
Yeah, maybe we have to, in Japan, they do have a word for death in the workplace, karoshi. Maybe we have to find our own word for that. They have a national hotline for it too, because they realize it's a problem. And I think it's very important to be, thank you for that insight, Nancy, to be aware of this. And sort of, we need to speak a little bit more about that because it needs to be known.
You've been to Japan though. I mean, what are you seeing? What did you see in terms of work?
I mean, just physically. I mean, you can see the contrast between day and night. Physically, what's happening? You see, everybody there has their own uniform for work, which is a suit always for the businessmen there.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the workday, especially work week, you'll see businessmen sleeping on trains, passed out in bars, passed out on the streets in their suits. I mean, it's so incredibly intense. And I think I see this here too, and not necessarily in suits, but
all the
time I'll be on the train and you'll see people going home at like, you know, doing crazy night shifts and passed out on the train. And it's like, you know, this is something we need to address. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I wonder if drinking is the way they play.
Absolutely.
And we were talking last week about play, and that unstructured play is the most beneficial emotionally and psychologically and for your brain. And that alcohol really is not a form of play.
Well, no. I was talking to a friend of mine last week who's Korean, and she was telling me that in Korea there's a similar sort of expectation for people to just work 12-hour days and, you know, work basically until they drop, that the drinking culture arises out of that.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
And people are looking for a release. They're getting out of work at 10, 11 o'clock at night, and, you know, there's a huge culture around that.
Yeah.
South Korea actually has the second highest amount of hours worked per year on average, just over Mexico. And they are very well developed countries. So
I mean, overwork is a ripe condition for alcohol abuse. I mean, what work does in general is it, you know, it diminishes concentration, diminishes brain power, and so that the only way to get some release is to get this stimulant, alcohol. And then it, of course, becomes a depressant, and then, you know, continuing the cycle even worse and worse.
How do you deal with people, Kevin, clients of yours who have a problem with workaholism? I mean, is that something that you see a lot in as far as your clients who are based here in New York?
You know, work is always an issue for every client I see. And like we talked last week about the balance between work, love, learn, and play. You know, play is a concept that a lot of people just simply don't grasp.
Mm.
So, you know, while work is always in the background, you know, play is even more in the background. And play is something that I try and bring out in clients in general. Anxiety and depression are the most often reasons I see people. But it's really, you know, work is 70% of people's lives. And last week we were talking about having 25% for each box, 25% for love, 25% for play, 25% for work, and 25% learning. I mean, can you do without any of those? And if so, I mean, which one is being emphasized? It tends to be work. So, yeah, I get a lot of people here who have issues with work, and they don't really even think that that's the issue. They think, oh, I'm not being understood. My partner is the one who's got it all backwards. You know, it's this and that. And I'm like, okay. So we start with this, and we find out how much stress are you under. That everybody has an answer for.
And in the second half of our program today, we want to hear from those of you out there who do have anxieties and stress and fears about getting back to the, you know, the rigors of everyday schedule, right? Summer being over, Labor Day is over. Here we are really back into the rhythm. No more three-day weekends, right? We want to hear about those of you who are dealing with anxiety and stress and concern about that and how you're dealing with it and what you're going through. So, again, our number to call, 212-757-5555. That's 212-757-5555. You are tuned into The Positive Mind here on 99.5 FM WBAI. We're here Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 1 p.m. You can find us on the iTunes Store. It's a free podcast. If you miss an episode, you can download those for free. We're going to take a short musical break, and we'll be back after this with your calls. 212-757-5555. Work here on The Positive Mind, 99.5 FM, WBAI. Thanks for tuning in. We are talking about work today, first day after Labor Day. And this is a time of year that I think brings a lot of dread and a lot of stress for a lot of people. Going back to work, vacation's over, the air is getting cooler. Even those of us who struggle with seasonal affective disorder, the awareness that those shorter and cooler days are right around the corner, that absence of sunlight, the back to school, the rigors, you know, this is a time that is very tough for a lot of people. And we're hoping to hear from some of you who are struggling with that, struggling with this time of year, and you want to hear about how you're dealing with it. So give us a ring, 212-757-5555.
And, of course, the first step is awareness. First of all, it's after Labor Day, and it's still okay to play Bob Marley, you know, but great choice. Ben. But so the first step is awareness, you know, be aware. I'm going back to work. The summer is over. Whatever brief time I had away from work, you know, felt good. I hope for all of you it felt good. But, you know, the first step in it not getting back to the old way is awareness. And once you are aware, like, what your work life can do to you physically and psychologically and emotionally, you can begin to take control. So are you feeling, like, achy? Are you feeling – do you – before you went this summer to whatever it is you got a chance to do, are you fatigued? Do you feel body pains? Are you able to focus? Is your focus off? Is your memory not as sharp as it could be? Are you irritable? Are you angry, easily angered? This is like the first sign of being overworked, is chronic anger and irritability. You mentioned Karoshi. What are the kind of symptoms?
Yes, this has been a really interesting just side subject when we're talking about work ethic. But again, this word Karoshi, which is a Japanese word for death by overwork, being overworked, but is totally applicable to Americans. I mean, we know many people die of strokes and heart attacks during work from being overworked, from, you know, too much overtime and too much just late nights and constant, constant, and perhaps filling that free time with alcohol or other binging habits. We don't really have a list of symptoms of Karoshi, but just that we know that it is prevalent enough in Japan, and we see it here also in America, that there are hundreds of people that are dying from being overworked, and that it needs to be addressed.
Yeah. I think for this half hour, guys, why don't we take calls from people that they have found a way somehow into their work life, have found a way to get some relaxation and relief. Yeah. Because if you're not able to quit, or you're not able to have less hours, if your boss is constantly driving you, you have to find some ways to get pleasure in your workday.
Right.
So we would love to hear ways that you get pleasure in your American workday, and things that we can tell our listeners.
Yeah, and well, we actually have a call right now, Kevin, who wants to talk about the difficulty of this time of year. We have Jaden on the line. You there?
Yeah. Hey, guys. What's
hey,
up?
Hey, man. How's it going?
Hey, Jaden.
Going pretty good. I'm a first time listener. I was with my friend a minute ago and had this radio on. I literally just got out of the car when I heard your topic, and I memorized your number. And I feel like I have something to say about, like, this time of year. Everybody set off by the changes in the world. Like, yeah, of course we can talk about the modern microscope of today's society and talk about government and all that shit, but we can leave that behind.
We gotta keep it radio friendly.
Jane, just gotta watch that.
Sorry.
Yeah, your first time caller, so we'll let you go this time. Are you feeling sad?
Oh, we lost Jaden.
We lost him. Call us right back, Jaden. You sound like you're on to what we're talking about, and we'd love to hear your feedback. But, yeah, people, I don't know. Did you hear it in his voice?
Yeah, I mean, it sounded like, also Jaden sounded like he was from a younger audience, which we, have been growing in. And it's great to hear from somebody who comes from this sort of millennial generation, which is we have a different kind of work ethic. I mean, culturally, again, we were talking about the gig economy, working freelance, working on your own time. Mm. Kind of there's a sense of, do I have to do this typical 9 to 5 or, 8 to 7 kind of workday, or can I figure it some other way?
Right. And do you find your friends, both of you, do you find your friends are entrepreneurial, general, and resistant to being pigeonholed into a standard?
Yeah. I mean, especially in New York City as a younger generational person.
Right.
Everybody's sort of got ideas of what they need, what they can do, so they don't have to have a job that is typical, that is that 9 hour, 8, 9 hour, 10 hour workday every day. But I mean, I also know people who are, quote, freelancing, but they're working full time and perhaps more than full time. So the company will kind of get away with paying them less and doing a freelance kind of work, not have to give them the same kind of pay leave kind of stuff.
Right.
But
interrupt. We had a Peter on the line and just got disconnected, wondering if Peter could give us a call back. Peter wanted to share a strategy.
Yeah.
Cool.
Oh, great.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from Peter.
Let's get them both. The phones are ringing, and please give us, be patient with us a little bit. It's our new year, and we're working our phones.
Our new year, yes.
To get back in shape.
New phone
and,
system, too.
We welcome your calls, 212-757-5555. 212-757-5555. And what does this time of year do for you? How are you affected by the change in season? How are you affected by your work life? How do you find pleasure in your work day?
Yeah, Kevin, it's really interesting, that idea of finding pleasure in your work day. And, you know, it can be really tough, especially for people who, you know, do hard labor. You know, when you're working in construction,
yes,
or,
right,
or contracting, and it can be really tough because you're physically lethargic,
right,
from just being, you know, overworked. And
yes,
what are some of the strategies that you've sort of come upon?
Well, actually, on a work site, often there's music.
Hmm.
That's not available in other work sites and other work possibilities. And it's actually a communal opportunity for,
yeah,
music. You know, I mean, I've seen guys actually pull their music together and make a shuffle.
Oh, cool.
That will get them through the day on,
right,
on construction sites.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the camaraderie at mealtime and break time, there are, you know, breaks figured into the construction world.
Right.
And the bosses are fine with it because they know when they come back, they're recharged and ready to go. So I think the communal aspect of the work and the music is a couple of things. But one of the downsides is, we have construction sites up and down 58th Street.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing you see is a lot of men smoking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, again, that's a chance to be social.
Right. It's easier to fall into the smoking and the alcohol.
And the coffee drinking.
And the coffee,
yeah,
because these things are communal and they're a kind of way to, you know, de-stress. And
you know what happened? One guy used to, on the 2nd Avenue subway, used to sing Frank Sinatra at lunchtime.
Oh, very cool.
And he actually got a gig here in New York City.
Really?
Yes. And he was famous.
Every lunchtime?
Every lunchtime he would sing Frank Sinatra on the bullhorn.
He built himself a following.
So I think that's one thing when you put a bunch of men together, that's one of the opportunities,
yeah, and
it's to reduce the stress.
It's kind of cool to see that kind of positivity and interest in one's own personal interests that continues forward even when you've got a full-time job that's in something like construction, which may not be perhaps your main passion, you know.
Yes.
For him,
right,
he said, you know, I love singing, and maybe if there's a moment I can find that in the day for myself,
yes,
in my life, that in my everyday life, and then if I give that just a little bit of time, that'll really satisfy me and give,
yes,
me a little bit of pleasure that makes things a lot easier and a lot more satisfying as a whole.
Yeah, and you spread the joy.
Yeah,
you spread it out. Everybody has a chance to sing it on the job. I mean, that's one thing about construction too. You
right.
can sing.
Yeah.
So that's one aspect of work. But I am curious still about millennials who find a way.
Well, you know, sorry, finish what you were saying.
Yeah, who find a way to be entrepreneurial and yet still do these part-time jobs.
Well, you know, it's like all part-time jobs. I mean, for a lot of millennials, it's like everybody's just doing part-time jobs and there's not really any salary job because a lot of us want to keep things open, you know, and it's sort of like if we close off to a salary job, we know we're going to get like
right.
1 week vacation a year, and then there's no freedom to really try other things or open that business or you know, try... have time on Thursday afternoons to mess around with that t-shirt company that you wanted to start
right,
with a friend or make that music that you wanted to make. And so there tends to be and the market and the tech market is more cohesive for that kind of lifestyle. I mean, there are a lot of tech companies that allow you to work from home, that allow you to come in
mm-hmm.
once a week for the Monday conference, and then everybody does their work from home, sends all their stuff by the end of the day, and
yeah.
that's it, you know? And if you can do that, if you can find a job like that, it's kind of wonderful. And I think you guys were speaking about just briefly during your play programs about, Google's sort of look at the workplace.
Their investment in play. Their investment in spaces
yeah.
for workers to play, to
yeah.
de-stress, to get together.
Yeah.
And their investment in it. They're paying a lot of money in,
yeah.
in real estate.
And a lot of startup and tech companies, I mean, I've been part of a couple already, and a lot of them really try to facilitate an environment that is open. There are not many cubicle type office spaces. They're usually very big. They've got like a ping pong table in the office. They've got a communal kitchen that everybody can kind of go to, and it's not so old fashioned office space. There's the cooler and that's it.
Yes,
They're trying to make a communal space for everybody to sort of be open minded and meet each other, and there'll be several companies in one large warehouse, that kind of thing. And it's a very interesting take, and I think a lot of them are taking from companies like Google and AOL and Yahoo and
I know
Apple.
I mistakenly got off on the seventh floor in a building here down in Chelsea, and it was a work environment, and right in the middle of the work environment was a pool table. I mean, in the middle.
Yeah, I know. And
that's quite a statement.
Yeah, sometimes having the freedom to do that will make it easier for this kind of day to continue forward. Yeah.
We have Peter on the line wanted to tell us one of his strategies about making the work-life balance a little bit easier. Hi, Peter. You there?
I'm here.
Thanks for calling us back. Peter. You know, we had a little trouble with our phone system. We're glad to have you on.
Oh, great. Yeah, so we're a nonprofit up in Harlem that helps people find jobs, so we always talk to people about job stress.
Yeah.
And so we recommend that people have something that means something to them in addition to work. So if they commit to themselves and say, okay, everybody's going back to school, what it is I'd like to learn about? That could be something I want to read about, something I want to go see, some combination of something. But that way, going to work, coming from work, even a break at lunch, you've got this commitment to yourself about something else aside from work that makes it enjoyable.
Right.
And you feel like you're getting something else out of life.
Absolutely.
Love it. What are some of the examples that people come up with? Do you know?
Well, learning a language. Let's say you learned a language in high school poorly, and you say, I took Spanish, but I really don't know Spanish. Okay.
Right. Perfect.
Well, now if the commitment is that I want to be able to at least go into the Mexican restaurant and tell them the food could be hotter, how do I learn a little bit of that? How do I commit to that, for example?
Terrific. That's a great example. So
And it doesn't sort of feel like the only thing that your life is the job that you're doing, and there's no movement there. There's sort of this exciting parallel part of life that's separate from that you can continue learning and continue building something outside of that. That's really exciting.
Peter, how do you get meaning?
How do I get meaning? I get meaning by helping people. So I was a Wall Street guy that switched to working for a nonprofit, helping people find jobs. So I'm using all those business skills now for people instead.
Great example. Fantastic. Listen, thanks for giving us a call. Call us anytime, okay?
Thank you so much, Peter, for coming in with that. Yeah, I mean, I totally, I personally, as an actor and as a professional actor, I meet a lot of my friends who are very, very, busy, actor, celebrity type friends, and they'll be working 8 months out of the year, or 9 months, 10 months even, doing films after film after TV show after TV show, and they get out of it and they go, I don't want to do any acting at all. I want to take a moment to do something totally different. Like, can I go study philosophy at school, or can I go learn to code at home? And what's cool is in this day and age, you can learn this kind of stuff. You can actually spend just an hour a night or a couple hours a weekend just taking a look at Spanish on your phone and or speaking to somebody in Spanish or learning about anthropology, like just because that's something that excites you. And I noticed that the actors that I know are most comfortable in themselves and in their own careers tend to be the ones that have something else outside of their main work and their main career to sort of satisfy that need.
I think what Peter was talking about was intention, to go into what you're doing with intention. So your friends who are actors that get burned out on acting and then they feel like, now that that's done, I get to do something else. We're trying to encourage you to insert it now. Insert it while you're doing it. Work, play, love, learn, and find meaning and intention with what you're doing right now. Add this to your repertoire. So, last week I thought we said it was like four boxes, but I think meaning, having some kind of meaning is really critical to add to your daily functioning.
Right, and by meaning, I mean, what is that sort of, when you say that, I mean, I know it's a really powerful word, but for meaning, it can mean, I guess, anything.
Learning
a
language. A
lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, find something outside of what we're doing that gives you a sense of meaning.
Right.
Learning Spanish for this guy.
Especially if your job happens to be something that's not, the top goal of your life.
Right.
You know? Yeah. But even then, I mean, my acting career is my main career, and I'm here doing this radio show because I love doing this, and this gives meaning to me.
Yes, this is a great example.
I look forward to these days outside of my acting career, absolutely.
Sure.
And I think that kind of search outside of the norm and outside of the box that you find yourself in most of the time can really satisfy in a deeper way.
Yeah. We had Jaden call. We'd love to hear back from Jaden. Somehow we missed that call. And he was talking about, you know, how hard it is this time of year, his transition. So if you're having a hard time this time of year, and, it is a difficult time of year. You know, this seasonal affective disorder is a real part of being in September. Ben, when we did the Shyness show, we realized that, there's a statistic that there are shy months. Where an infant
really?
Could be. Right. Yes, an infant can generally. What months do you think that would be?
As far
as. 2 months when that are
January, February?
That you're more inclined to have a shy child.
If that's when the child is born or conceived?
Yes, when they're born. Yeah.
Okay.
What are the 2 months?
I would say probably a fall or winter month.
Yeah. I would go for the ones that sort of imbue seasonal affective disorder.
May and June.
May
really?
And June. Yep.
Why is that?
Because at this time of year, the melatonin effect on people is strong because of the change in season and change in light.
So the actual increase in light will increase the level of shyness.
The decrease in light, because we're going through to a decrease in light.
Well, we're talking about in May and June.
Yes, but the conception is now.
Oh, okay.
In these months, if you're conceived in August and September – and born in April and May and June, which, you know,
right,
is typical.
Right.
The research is saying that you tend to be more, that you have more chance of being shy if you were born
very
in May and June because of what is going on with the light right now.
Yeah.
So it's a difficult time of year. You know,
it can be strange, and this does feel like sort of like a second new year, especially for those who work in school. Or in the education system, because there is literally a massive break right before for some.
Right.
And you come back into this going, okay, well, now I'm back into this crazy work week, this crazy life that I'm in normally.
Yeah. 212-757-5555. Give us a call. Tell us how you react to what we're talking about in terms of work and how you can be proactive and how you can find some sort of pleasure in even your work day. In your overworked American day.
Yeah, Kevin, let's talk, and Ben, let's talk a little bit about ways to de-stress for those who are feeling overworked or like workaholics. There's so many things you can do. I mean, a big one for me is get a massage. I mean, that's like a physical body experience that puts and takes you, especially if you're a hard laborer.
Yeah.
That kind of gift to your body is very, very, very important.
Yes. So even if you have a friend who can squeeze and work out the kinks for you, you know, if you're pulled in many directions, a massage, breathing. Okay, Ben,
we have a caller on the line who wants to talk about work-life balance. Michelle is on the line. Thanks for giving us a call today.
Oh, my pleasure, and thank you for taking my call. My name is Michelle. I'm a healthcare professional, and I actually work in hospice care and palliative care, which is, you know, a difficult line of health care because you're really dealing with people at the end of life.
Right.
You know, in and of itself, it's stressful. So my particular challenge really has to do with my work life, and now my personal life has expanded. I have an 18-month-old. Son, and I'm also going back to school. Mm. So I think for me, you know, one of my sort of self-therapeutic strategies is trying to get enough rest.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, critical not only just for your own well-being, but to be able to, you know, wake up the next day and be focused. And so I'm trying now to really own my time and making sure that I get enough rest.
Yeah.
I think that that's
you're
important strategy.
You're working all the time. Do you know that?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Yeah. You have an 18-month-old. You're working all the time.
Yes.
Yeah. So
it's very, very difficult.
But what I hear is that you manage somehow to stay above it, and you think that your sleeping has really been the biggest contributor to you being above all of it?
I don't think my sleeping is, because I think now I'm just trying to. I've been taking some short weekends with my husband, and
okay.
in fact, even we just went upstate and just went to the lake.
Wonderful.
And so what is happening for me now is understanding the demands of mothering. And how you're absolutely right. Your time is not your time. There is no more deep seat sitting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's constant, but what is it that makes you reconnect with yourself, you know, spiritually, and from a holistic point of view?
Yeah.
And so I'm sort of identifying those things and then trying to really execute and take advantage and do those things, yoga, dance class, mm-hmm. taking a walk. But it is definitely a struggle.
Michelle, thank you so much for giving us a call and telling us how you manage the work-life balance. We want to get one more quick phone call in, but I just want to thank you again for calling us today.
Thank you so
Michelle,
much.
Michelle, thanks. And keep,
thank you.
Keep playing with that husband of yours.
Thank you.
Okay.
Right. Bye-bye.
Let's see if we That's can get one more phone call in. You are tuned into The Positive Mind, 99.5 FM on WBAI. We've been talking about work today. I'm Ben Starr here with Julian Joiello,
yes.
Kevin O'Donohue. We're going to try to take one more quick caller. We have someone holding on the line. So we're going to take this one quick call. We have Joe on the line. Tell us real quick, Joe, what helps you get through work and life balance?
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm in Long Island here, and I've been in the school district for a number of years.
Yeah.
And I find that after coming out of the summer, it can be kind of stressful. But what I do with regard to anything that is a challenge for me is to apply my faith. I have strong faith in God, and that helps me to overcome a lot of the hurdles and things I know that I have to face during the course of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And it works for me. Maybe this could be incorrigible for somebody else, but I find that it works for me, and it has worked in the retrospect of about over 40 years that I've been teaching. So, and anything that I have to face or deal with, I just apply my faith, and it enables me to cope with it and to maintain status quo without copping out or let my anxieties get too high.
Joe, you're going into a very stressful month. School starts up in a day or two, I believe. So you found God and spirituality as a resource for you. That somehow helps you relax?
Definitely does. Regardless of what I deal with, I just apply my faith and it always works.
Joe, you're going to end our show for us today. It's a great message to end on. We do appreciate you calling. Call us back in the future, okay?
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe.
We're here Tuesdays and Wednesdays at 1. You've been listening to The Positive Mind. I'm Ben Starr here with Kevin O'Donohue, Julian Joiello. Send us an email, positivemind@wbai.org. We'll be back tomorrow, 1 p.m. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.
Thank you.